Hey guys, quick disclaimer, just letting you know, if you have not finished the full show of The Office, we talk about a lot of spoilers in the show, so if you haven't finished it, you've been warned. Enjoy the episode. Today on the Dunder Mifflin Podcast, we will be discussing the best conspiracy theories of The Office. Stay tuned for more. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Dunder Mifflin Podcast. I am Elle.
And I am B, and today we will be looking into the topic of the very best and craziest theories of the show.
We hope you all are having a great day, and without further ado, let us get into this week's episode. So, before we get into today's episode, we have a little bit of trivia
for you guys. Yeah, so we're gonna, hopefully, every week we are going to kind of open the episode with an Office piece of trivia, okay? So I'm going to flip to a random day on my Office page a day calendar. And the question is, Angela says that sometimes the clothes at Gap Kids are too flashy for her. That's when she shops here. I feel like I know the answer to this.
I know the answer. It's the American Girl doll store.
Yeah, that was my thing. Yeah, American Girl, yeah. That's
okay,
the same
we were
thing.
Right. All right. Because she was like, I get an American Girl doll in large.
Yeah, like, I order large colonial doll suits. All right, let's get into the episode. All right, ladies and gentlemen,
You already said that.
We're going off script here. And welcome to the very first episode of the Dunder Mifflin Podcast. Once again, do the names. I am B.
I am L.
And we are siblings, and we are
obsessed.
We're pretty obsessed. I mean, we can say that.
Obsessed
we're pretty.
Is not an understatement.
Yeah, we really love the TV show The Office. And we kind of wanted to make this show because we have some really awesome ideas for it, and that's what we kind of wanted to show you guys. So, anything you'd add? All right. So, once again, today we are going to be doing the best conspiracy theories of The Office. So, I have gathered four. Elle has gathered four. And Elle has heard two of mine, but I have heard none of hers. So we're trying to keep it with genuine reactions as far as we go. That sound good? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So I am going to start first. So the title of mine is, I feel like every kind of bigger fan of The Office will know of like the theory that Michael Scott is a secret genius. We've all heard that one. So I feel like, everyone's heard it, but I feel like not a lot of people have the best information to back it up. So my first one that is pretty interesting is Michael could be staging the whole kind of idiot act, the whole like idiot play that he's putting on, you know, because of how much he comments on like his love for film and acting. You know, that could be, he could be like acting the whole time as a dummy, which is, I feel like it's a little far-fetched, but
think about that.
It could kind of work. All right, my next case is the businessman tactics part. So, people kind of know this one. So, in the season 2 episode, The Client, this is the one where Michael and Jan go to Chili's to try to get a client. Do you remember that one? I feel like it was like season 2. So, and this is where Michael pulls a technique where he like almost bonds with the client.
Yeah.
Where like he like kind of, they have a couple drinks. Exactly. They kind of get food. And then that's like, he kind of sweet talks him, which in the end, he actually closes a deal, which is a pretty cool businessman tactic on my part, I think, for Michael. And then for the final part, in season 4, in the episode Dinner Party, we all know and love it. It's a classic. So Michael actually tricks Jim going into the dinner party by making up the fake corporate overtime assignment, which was kind of that big kind of wow that we first got of Michael Scott. What do you think of that one?
I think that one's really good. I totally see where you're coming from, and this can totally be like a real conspiracy theory, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so that's the first one. Michael Scott is a secret genius. So guys, also using Anchor FM, they have this thing called voice messages, and if you kind of figured out, put like links in the description or something, you can actually send us a voice recording of yourself that goes directly to us. So if you want to let us know on any of your opinions of these theories, you can just let us know. That'd be pretty cool.
Okay, so I'm gonna start out with the weaker of the four, just because, you know, I want to save the best for last.
Mm-hmm.
So one of mine is Creed is looking for Nessie.
I don't know what season one is, but in the seminar, Creed comes up with a small business idea, and he says all the body parts of the monster, then offers all the riches in Scotland for its capture. And in employee interview, Creed says, if I can't scuba, then what has this all been about? And it seems like a metaphor, but some more proof says that he's searching for more than the meaning of life. Isn't that kind of cool?
Wow. Okay. That one's not bad. That one makes you think for a little bit. But that's like, that one's top five best quotes of The Office. Easily the best of Creed is like, if I can't scuba, what's this all been for? That's like, that's the
and
best one.
You know what's really funny? Two of my conspiracy theories are about Creed.
Really? Yeah. I bet Creed's like the number one like guy for that.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So this next one, Elle has heard as well. So she kind of knows this one, and this one is weird. This one's crazy.
Really weird.
And only, like, I think true Office fans are gonna know this one. Only hardcore fans will understand this. So, I feel like it was mentioned before. It might have been on Casino Night. No, I don't know about that one. But it kind of really popped up in a season 6 episode, The Chump. It's an interesting title. Toby warns all the employees about a deadly gas in their building called radon. And, like, he calls it, it's a silent killer. But since Toby brought it up, it was, like, immediately forgotten. Because, you know,
Toby's such a disregarded character.
Because Toby said it. You know, so it, like, just flies over their head when Toby's talking. That's kind of just how it works. But leave you with this. What if Toby was right? What? Yeah, so what if he was right about the radon, and it actually slowly started giving everyone, like, everyone in that little office brain cancer? It's weird. It's weird. Okay, let me explain it. Okay, so you kind of realized how all the characters just start acting, like, just,
strange.
Yeah, just weirder and weirder as the show goes on. Just stranger and stranger. And what if it's due to the radon? You know, what if it's kind of messing with their mind and causes them to act super weird? And also, you know how Michael is kind of randomly super mature in the season finale, like during the wedding and everything? No, what if, like, as he got out of the office, once he left the Scranton Branch,
Colorado, like, sort of like all the open air.
Yeah, what if he kind of got a fresh, like, air? I don't know what I'm saying. What if he left the office? Him. Yeah, it kind of, like, left him and he became more mature. It's weird. That one's goofy, but that's what I have.
Yeah.
That's actually my second one.
That's actually not bad.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so which one should I do for my second one? Okay, so this one is pretty crazy. So Michael doesn't like Toby, but we never really have a solid reason for it. You know? It's never explained.
It starts in, like, season one in Diversity Day.
So we think is that Michael sees himself as Toby's little daughter. Toby is divorced and he has a little girl. Since Michael has a stepdad named Jeff, Michael could resent his real dad, and he takes out all of his childhood anger on Toby.
What? Dude, that ties it in together.
Because every time he would have to see the dad that never was there for him growing up.
Like, just like Toby's a single father?
Exactly. So he sees himself in his little girl's perspective.
That's weird.
I thought that was crazy.
Do you think Toby had the divorce since Diversity Day?
I think so.
You think it's kind of known? Okay, that one's interesting. All right. For my third conspiracy theory, this one you kind of got to think about for a little bit. And Elle has not heard this one before, so this is a genuine reaction. So the title is, what if the camera crew secretly kept the Scranton Branch open by themselves?
Ooh.
Like, yeah, think about it.
That sounds fun.
Think about it. So here we go. So what if the camera crew could have been secretly keeping the Scranton Branch in business by buying a lot of, like, paper for themselves? All right, hold on. Real quick timeout. Sorry about that. Dad walked into the room and kind of had to pause it really quick. Okay, so what I was saying. So what if the Scranton Branch was keeping them in business by buying paper for themselves? Like, buying a bunch of it and, like, keeping it in a room or keeping it in their cars or something. Because I feel like kind of the... how much the camera crew is dedicated to shooting this whole show. Like, what if they kind of, they had to buy paper to keep the Scranton branch in business so they could keep filming it, because they knew kind of in the long run they'd make a profit after, like, filming this and making this whole documentary, that they had to buy the paper to keep them in business so they could keep filming.
That's actually really good.
Weird.
Because remember when Dunder Mifflin is going bankrupt, they talk about how Michael's branch is doing the best, you know? Yeah. And in my opinion, I always thought that was kind of crazy. Not that Michael isn't a good boss, but he's not a good boss.
That should be an episode idea, because that's like season one, Michael's a... It's obvious he's a horrible boss, but by season seven, like,
he's kind of a good boss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's mostly just because he becomes more and more involved in, like,
mm-hmm.
his coworkers' lives, and he learns to love them like his own children.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know? Okay.
All right, here's Elle's third one.
Okay, I'm gonna save, in my opinion, the best one for last. So, this one is Roy cheated on Pam with Angela. This may be a little weird to think about. But in The Fire, Roy points out that he has attraction towards Angela. And in Casino Night, Michael says, old friends, new lovers. Roy and Angela look at each other. And in another episode, Angela calls Roy very strong. And maybe Angela didn't like Pam because Roy chose Pam over her.
Okay, I have a thing to add on to that. So in on The Office YouTube channel, they have something called webisodes, which are just like on like kind of short episodes for just like online and just for the YouTube channel. And in one for an accountant, it is stated out that Angela has a crush on Roy. And like Kevin and kind of Oscar tease her about it, like, you have a crush on Roy and things like that could actually play out.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Holy cow. All right. This is my fourth and final one. And this one, again, this probably is going to be hard to wrap your head around it. But the title is, what if Jim Halpert secretly played us all? So again, a super weird one, but it's crazy enough to where it possibly could be true. Very possibly. All right. Today, I'm going to ask the crazy question of, what if The Office was secretly scripted the whole time? It was scripted the whole time by arguably the main character of the show, James Jimothy Halpert. So, before I kind of just need to back up a little bit. Yeah, this one's weird. So, they always, like, of course they say it's a documentary, and it's not super, like, it's not, like, what am I saying?
It's kind of not scripted.
Exactly.
It's genuine.
Yeah, it's their reactions.
But really, truly, it is a scripted TV show.
In real life, yes. But in the universe of the Scranton branch and Dunder Mifflin, it was not scripted. But what if kind of like all the actors were keeping a secret, or just technically all the employees, because they're not actors. All the employees were kind of keeping a secret, and it was actually written by Jim. So from the article where I got most of these conspiracy theories from, it says how people kind of, all the fans were always rooting for Jim to win over Pam, kind of as the show would go on, right? That's,
yeah,
of course,
it was,
you didn't want
that.
Yeah,
you always wanted the guy to get the girl.
Totally. And if you kind of think about it, every other character, at least at the beginning of the show, is portrayed as really annoying. Like, you didn't want to sit across from them, you know, except Jim and Pam. And like, kind of Roy was kind of portrayed as an antagonist, and Michael and Dwight were super annoying. So if Jim had secretly written the show the entire time, that could actually also explain some story finales, like Dwight and Angela's wedding, since he was one of the first person to find out about them, even though it was Pam the whole time, but Jim was like one of the first people to see him. If you haven't seen the finale, go away. Right, really quick.
Really, you shouldn't be watching this if you haven't seen.
Yeah, but so, finale, a spoiler. You know, in the season finale, Jim, you know, he ends up not working at Dunder Mifflin in the end, which is kind of something he always wanted. And he didn't bring up a lot, but you kind of tell, like, this is not what Jim wanted to do with his life, be a paper salesman. You know, it also could have explained Michael leaving, because, like, Jim kind of played it off really nice.
when Michael left, because, like, see you for lunch tomorrow. Yeah. So it could just explain some, like, story plots, which is, it's a weird one, but that's crazy. I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird one.
Yeah. No. That one's great. Yeah. Like, it actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So
final one, ladies and gentlemen.
This one may seem obnoxious and weird, but in my opinion, it's my favorite because Creed is, like, one of my favorite characters.
Creed's one of the most underrated, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely. So the title of this one is Creed is the Scranton Strangler.
It's Toby and Creed are the two main suspects.
Yeah,
of that.
So Creed shows up to the Halloween party and says good timing when he is covered in blood. Yes,
that's like season 9 because
Pete's
there.
And in the episode where Dunder Mifflin is going bankrupt and they play the murder mystery game, and Michael tells Creed there had been a murder with no context, he says, gotta go, boss, and drives off.
Yeah, and he runs, like, he got, like, I forgot something in my car or something.
Yeah.
And then he runs into his car and drives off.
Which makes me think, and, you know, like, he obviously has a little bit of a dark side. At the end,
he goes to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I might have a bonus one.
Okay, mini bonus ones. Okay, but first of all, before I move on, that Creed one, there's a bunch. That could almost be a whole episode if we fully find out who the Scranton Strangler is.
Yeah.
With new information if you listen to the Office Ladies podcast. We won't talk about that right now because that's not the topic, but that could definitely be something really interesting.
Okay, the last one, this one's like crazy beyond belief.
Okay.
But that Kevin Malone has been stealing money from the company.
I've heard of this one.
Because
yeah.
It's basically saying, okay, one, when Kevin got fired, how could he have possibly afforded the bar?
Exactly, yeah.
And he acts, like, so stupid in the show, so, like, uncommonly stupid, you know?
Mm-hmm. And he goes, I have very low patience for stupidity.
Yeah, and then they say that he's faked all that stupidity, you know? Like, mm-hmm. In real truth, he's a smart person, which is another conspiracy theory, that he's a different secret genius. But, ooh, yeah.
And I actually have a mini, like, piece that can go with that. So, I feel like it was season 3 was when the merge happened, right? From the Stanford branch.
Yeah, and that guy.
And Martin, I think, was the ex-convict, the one that went to jail. And Kevin goes, like, and what Martin was explaining when he goes to jail sound like a lot like what I do here every day. So that could be, yeah. That one's cool. Okay. That one's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all of them?
Yeah.
I think that's it. All right. Well, I'll be blue. I think we're just going to wrap it up for today's episode.
We hope y'all enjoyed it very much.
Check back in on the show next Friday where we will be talking about Worst to First Managers Edition. You know, in other words, we will be ranking all the Scranton branch managers from the worst to the first.
Love you guys, and what we like to say,
live every day like pretzel day.